Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church on this Palm Sunday. I am Jeremy Pepis and I'm serving as your liturgist today. If you're a guest, thank you for worshiping with us and we hope you will return. Everyone, please take a moment to fill out the attendance pads found at the end of your pews. That way we can provide accurate numbers to the district office. Now, if you'll turn to the back of the bulletin, I want to highlight a few announcements. The United Methodist Women's Annual Bake Sale is happening today. Get the goodies while they last. Asbury's annual Easter Festival will be this coming Saturday from 10 to noon on the front lawn. Come for a morning of fun with games, a petting zoo, and pony rides. We will also have an egg hunt, so be sure to bring your basket with you. The deadline to order your Easter lilies has been extended until close of business tomorrow. You can drop your order by the office or submit it today with your offering. Please take note of the Holy Week schedule, as well as the other special spring dates coming up. Now, stand as you are able and let us greet one another and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship found in your bulletin. And the disciples began to rejoice and praise God, saying, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Father, David, that is God.
Hosanna. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, found on page 278 in your hymnal. Will you join me in the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loves us. Assure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, or that were as if nothing else than all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Miss Laura must be tied up somewhere, probably chasing a donkey somewhere. And no jokes about, well, if we put a robe on the donkey, Pastor Doug, he'd look just like you, with a beard and everything. What is today?
Sunday?
Palm Sunday. And you came in waving palms. Uh-huh. Do you know in Jesus' time, when the people would wave palms, they were waving them to a king. When a king would come into their city and they would welcome that king in, they would wave palm branches because that palm branch signified victory. That, you know what victory is, right? That they win. And Jesus always wins, doesn't he? So on this special Sunday, we wave palms because we all have, just like the old song that we sing sometimes, it's titled, bless you, Victory in Jesus. We always have victory in Jesus if we trust him with everything. And if Jesus was riding a donkey and people had cloaks, you know, their coats, one of the other things they did is they took their cloaks off and they laid them on the road. On the road to kind of make a carpet for Jesus to ride on, right? It's a very, very special Sunday. But I got one more question. What happens next Sunday? What are we going to be celebrating? Yes.
Easter.
And why do we celebrate Easter? What does that mean to us? Yes. When Jesus rose from the dead and they went and looked in the tomb and he wasn't there, was he? Wow. That is going to be a big celebration. But between now and then, we're going to have some services that we remember that Jesus went through some pain for us because he loves us so much. Y'all have been great this morning. I appreciate your songs, and I appreciate you not knocking all of the palms off the altar. And we just had some grout replaced up here on the altar. I think we're going to have it replaced now again. It probably is loose. But yeah, y'all have done so great this morning. And thank you again for coming and being part of this service today. God bless you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
As we prepare to go to God in prayer, we want to remember especially Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Theon James, Becky Flynn, and Mary Ellen Murray. Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious God, we cry out Hosanna to your name and our Savior today. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Just as Jesus entered the city to the praise of the crowd, may your spirit be welcomed in this place by our worship and praise. We confess today that we do not fully comprehend the fullness of your love for us. You have sent your only Son to earth to be our substitution on the cross. Just as the thief on one side of him admitted, we also deserve the consequences of our sin. But Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, fully knowing what would happen in the coming days. Final moments with his disciples, arrest, a mock trial, and being condemned to death on the cross. It was his love for us that kept him there. He gave everything. Remind us, but especially this week, we need to give our everything in all we do, in all we say, and in all our praise. Without Christ, we would certainly be condemned. Father, help us especially focus this week on the footsteps of Jesus. May we honor you in the same manner and follow his example of obeying your word, all the while covered by your grace and love. We pray this all in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Holy God, we bring our tithes and offerings to you this morning in faith. May we obey your promise of blessings if we only follow your word. Bless and multiply these gifts to further your kingdom on earth until Christ comes again. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our hymn of meditation, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." It's found on page 351 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our world is full of sounds, different sounds. Sound is a funny thing. Sometimes I have to ask Cindy to repeat what she said, much to her frustration. And on other times, I can be sitting on the back patio and hear a tiny bird on the bird feeder 30 yards away. Now, there's a foundation for some marriage counseling if you've never seen it before. Why can I hear that bird and not hear Cindy? If you come up with that answer, don't tell Cindy. Or how about young parents? As young parents, when you're in one room and you hear a sound coming from another room, that lets you know your child is up to something, right? And you go in. My girls, they still couldn't figure out how the sound of that cookie jar traveled. Have you ever stood on the banks of a lake and you could hear people talking across the lake? The sound would travel miraculously almost, and you could hear them plain as day. When Cindy lived in Fayetteville, she lived about 3 miles west, or about east of the stadium. But on those clear, crisp nights, and even when there was a cloud bank, she says that she could hear the crowd and the announcer just like she was next door to the stadium. Sound can travel. Sound is a good thing a lot of times, but in some instances it's not such a good thing. This morning, the sermon is entitled A New Ride. And I was preparing for this sermon, and Pastor Mary and I pick out the series, and she spoke extensively about Jesus' new ride that we're going to see in Scripture today. Well, we're going to touch on that. But somehow, the Holy Spirit kind of led me a different direction this morning. And as you've already probably figured out, I want to talk about sound. The sound we're going to look at, among other things, was created by a crowd. To some, the sound announced a great event. To others, the roar of the crowd created a decision time. A decision time for those who were in power. And the roar and the sound of this crowd threatened them. And this so-called King of the Jews threatened them as well. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you do, let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke, Dr. Luke, and we're going to look in the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 28. And I just pray that as these words are read aloud, that you hear them, hear the sound of them, maybe in a little different way this morning. Verse 28, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them, and they were untying the colt. Its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples.
I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today's scripture, if you really listened, we could hear many different sounds and even possible sounds coming from a source that we wouldn't believe if we heard it. Now, Jesus was located just to the east of the Jordan River. If we were to examine, beginning there, all four of the Gospels together and putting together the stories told within them, we would see a pretty good story and a pretty good sequence of events in the last few weeks of Christ. In the book of John, for instance, Jesus had been in Jerusalem just a few weeks before today's scripture, what we had read. He was there as a devout Jew for the Feast of Dedication. The sounds that he heard during his preaching in the tabernacle were the sounds of hate and accusations of blasphemy. The religious leaders in Jerusalem had beat themselves into such a fevered pitch of anger, they sought to lay hands on Jesus and stone him that day. In the chaos, Jesus slipped away with his disciples and left Judea, heading east, and crossed over the Jordan River just north of the Dead Sea. And as just it would have it here, Jesus crossed the Jordan at the same point, at the same location that he was baptized almost 3 years earlier by his cousin John. Knowing this, knowing what was going to happen in the next couple of weeks, remembering this is where Jesus began his ministry, Jesus had to feel grief in his heart. During their encampment on the shores of the Jordan River, word got to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha had sent word to him. After 2 days of hearing that, after 2 days following that, staying in their encampment, the disciples heard a sound that they didn't like very much. Jesus said, "We are going to return to Judea." The disciples probably thinking, wait a second. They reminded Jesus, but Rabbi, you know, if they were in Arkansas, they'd say, hold up. But they said, Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? They knew that they had to go with Jesus. Their lives were also in danger, but they were willing to go. Jesus also knew he had to go back. And his response to his disciples was not a sound that they wanted to hear. Crossing over the Jordan at the same point that he had a few days before that, he went to Bethany. There was a sound in Bethany. There was a sound of death. There were mourners and wailers mourning with Mary and Martha at the loss of their brother Lazarus. After Jesus met with both of the women, an already emotional Jesus wept with them after they had taken Jesus at his request, where they had buried the tomb where they had buried Lazarus. Those gathered there heard a sound. The sound they heard was the sound of authority. Scripture tells us Jesus spoke with authority, and that authority was loud. When death had its grips on Lazarus, but yet it heard this authority and this loud voice, it gave up Lazarus, and he walked out of the tomb. Unknowingly, to the people that gathered there, this was a glimpse of the victory they would see in only a few days. A victory over death, not just for one, but for all of mankind. Now, this miracle of raising Lazarus generated a sound throughout Judea. It was a buzz of what had happened. People who believed in Jesus just knew, they just knew that he was the prophesied king, the king that was going to come and free them from the Roman rule and the Roman oppression, just as their people had been freed hundreds of years before from the Egyptian slavery and their oppression. They believed that he was the one that was going to set up his earthly kingdom and rule. Well, after raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus could have. He could have turned back east and crossed over the Jordan River into safety and continued his ministry. But he didn't. He had sent two disciples on ahead, west into Jerusalem, telling them to secure a donkey that had never been ridden. As he reached the Mount of Olives, the sound that his disciples heard was the praising of God. The praising of God saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This was the sound of praise to their king. But the Pharisees in the crowd didn't like it very much, because it threatened their authority and their way of life. Those Pharisees, if you noticed in the scripture, they didn't address the disciples directly. They addressed the one who had the power to silence the disciples, the one who had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. This is what they told him. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples for crying out, for praising you. Rebuke them. Tell them to be quiet." Jesus told them, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones on the ground will cry out." Jesus told them, not in so many words, if mankind stops praising him, all of creation, even the rocks, will praise me. Wow. Then came a sound as they were on top of that mountain that had been familiar to the disciples over the last few days. Once again, it was the sound of weeping. And it was coming from Jesus. He was sitting there on that beast of burden, a symbol of peace. As I told the children this morning, that was a symbol of peace. When kings would enter a town peacefully, they would ride a donkey. Jesus sat on that symbol of peace, weeping over Jerusalem. He knew in this town only a few weeks earlier, the religious leaders tried to grab him and tried to kill him by stoning. They didn't stay in that town, as we know. They followed Jesus everywhere. And it was the religious leaders that had been following him, trying to catch Jesus at every turn with a word that he had said. Even so, scriptures tell us that some of the religious leaders, some of the Pharisees that saw Lazarus walk out of that tomb, believed in Jesus. They were converted. But others, I guess it just hardened their hearts that much more, and they were still blinded to the truth, and they still continued to try to control Jesus. But the sound of Jesus weeping and his words was an ominous, it was an ominous picture into the week ahead. These people who welcomed Jesus shouting and waving palm branches and laying their cloaks in the path of the donkey as he rode into Jerusalem, they would be ones that only a few days later that would be shaking their fist and yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas!" Oh, Jerusalem, if you only knew, if you only knew the King of Kings, the one who truly had the power to set you free and to give you eternal life, wept for you as he prepared to enter your walls for one last time. I have to ask, are we Jerusalem's? I hope not. On this day that Jesus entered into the east gate, Herod, King Herod, entered into the west gate to a cheering crowd on his annual entrance, a show of power, riding his war horse. And he was all dressed in his finest, and he was surrounded by chariots and soldiers carrying weapons of war, dressed in their shiny armor, their shining helmets, and the capes, the fine capes flowing. However, the sound of the crowds at the west gate were drowned out by the sounds of the crowd gathered at the east gate. And by accounts, the crowd at the east gate was even larger than that at the west. And this did not set well with the religious leaders. The people there cried out in loud voices to the King of Kings riding a symbol of peace surrounded by his disciples. Disciples not dressed in armor and fine capes. They were dressed in dirty cloaks, wearing sandals, and not carrying weapons of war. But who would become more powerful than any army on earth ever assembled with a message of love and life their Messiah had taught them? Today, there isn't 3 points to this sermon to take away. There isn't a life application to help us be better people. That's not the intent. There are only sounds. Sounds to help us focus on the footsteps of Jesus in his last week here on earth. He freely crossed the Jordan River to enter Judea one last time at the place where he was baptized, knowing where and what he was going to experience. He defeated death for his friend Lazarus and raised him from the dead on the way to his own death. He entered the city to cheers from those who would soon be calling for his death on a cross. He knew Jesus knew. All during these last few weeks in his life, I'm sure of it, the sound of his Father's own words was ringing in his ears. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I love him. These words gave Jesus strength and kept him moving ever closer to the cross. This week is called Holy Week. But as we go through this week, I challenge us all. Let's look at it through different eyes. Like the eyes of the disciples who ended up deserting Jesus and fleeing. Let's look at it through the eyes of a thief hanging on a cross beside Jesus who was forgiven in his last moments here on earth. Let's look at it through the eyes of a mother. A mother who wept at the foot of the cross for her son. A son who had begun his ministry at a wedding where she was turning water into wine. Now hanging on a cross, dying for her and dying for all mankind. And let's look at it through the eyes of Jesus, who didn't have to go through all the pain and the agony he did, but he did it. He did it because he loves us so very much. He willingly became our sin sacrifice. Yes, let's look at this week through new eyes, remembering just why to us it is so very holy. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is All Law, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. We will sing verses 1, 4, and 5. You'll find it in your hymnal under 280, hymn number 280. If those are here today that have something that they really need to pray about, our prayer rooms are always open, and I'll be honored to pray with you if you'd like. If you'd like to join with this faith fellowship, now is the time for you to come forward, and we will welcome you with open arms and hugs. This is a hugging church, I'm telling you. We will welcome you. But please, as we stand and as we sing, listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to what He is telling you to do. Let's all stand.
Oh,
thank you for being here this morning. It is so good to worship with you. Let's remember, this week, we do call it Holy Week, but it's a very sad, it's a very dark week, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was rejected. He was welcomed. He knew what was going to happen to him, yet he kept pressing forward. A lot of times we go through adversity ourselves. Keep pressing forward, knowing that Christ is always with you. He's always there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he will turn all things good in the end. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, we thank you for this week. Help us to focus on you and the footsteps that Jesus took, and the pain and the agony and dying on a cross for us. Lord, we don't deserve it. We are condemned without the saving grace that Jesus has given us through his actions. Father, go with us now. Watch over us and keep us as we all contemplate this week. And as we pray, let us pray with new fervency, knowing that your Son died for us. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.